they would say, and that's one of the other explanations. But they have to have some explanation like this. There is no other reasonable explanation in their minds for how we could live in a universe the way it exists, other than to say that there are other worlds that we cannot see. So last week, I said very briefly that the scientific community would generally agree that the evidence that they see points to the fact that there must be more than we see in this universe, in our observable universe. So this is why I put up Neil deGrasse Tyson, very accomplished gentleman. He says it's very likely the universe is a simulation. That is, he says 50-50 maybe, I don't know where he got the number, but he says maybe our entire existence is a program on someone else's hard drive. He said there could be a being whose intelligence is much greater than our own. And compared to this being, we would be drooling, blithering idiots in their presence. If that's the case, it's easy for me to imagine that everything in our lives is just a creation of some other entity, maybe for their entertainment. So here again, you have someone who is extremely bright, extremely accomplished with all of these awards and scientific career, saying perfectly reasonable that there's a being out there that's outside of our universe that created us the way we are. But if you say that that one is God, you're not a very scientific person. But if you say that this other being may be formed somewhere else in the natural world, well, then you're all right. So for a logical inconsistency, some of the skeptics say that the Christians are silly, but the scientists make a lot of sense, even though we say basically the same thing. That is, we believe that there is life outside of the world that we see. There is a world outside of this universe where things are different, a spirit world, a world where God exists. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. All right. We'll move forward, and now we will actually go into Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 is the fourth vision that Daniel sees. And most of this vision concerns two different territories fighting. And I'll show you these two territories. They will be this territory down in Egypt and this territory up here, which includes Babylon. It would be kind of what we think of as Syria, at least some of it. And these two sides under the Greeks were fighting a lot. Now, ordinarily, if two territories are fighting so much, it's not necessarily of great interest in the Bible. But what is in the middle of these two areas in their fighting but the land of Judah and Jerusalem? They find themselves right in the middle of things. So if you could imagine if someone was writing about the important things about the United States, and if we pretend that the United States is very small and weak, and Canada and Mexico are actually the real powerhouses, and Canada and Mexico kept fighting each other, that would be of great interest to the United States, because we're caught in the middle, and that's exactly what happened. So Daniel has a vision of what will happen in subsequent years, and in fact the subsequent few centuries after his vision and after his death, what will happen to Judah, the land of Israel, between these two groups. So the land of Israel gets caught in the crossfire as the north, which is going to be called this area here, and the south fight each other. So if in Daniel 11 you let your eyes kind of skim through words, I want you to try to find either the words the king of the north or the king of the south. So we can go ahead and do this now. King of the north or king of the south. And when you found five of them, you get to look up. See if you can let your eyes kind of skim the words in the pages and look for king of the south or king of the north. And see if you can find, there are more than five, by the way, quite a bit more, but if you can find five, then you can peek up. All right. Some faster scanners than others, but many people are looking up. How about four? Three? Good. More people are looking up. All right. So in this chapter, we have the king of the north and the king of the south. That's going to be the king of this area down here, the south, king of this area up here, the north. The tricky part about this passage is that the king of the south and the king of the north are not always the same people. In other words, this is going to describe what happens in generations to come. So the earlier references to the king of the north or the king of the south are going to be certain people. And then as you get later in the chapter, the king of the north and the king of the south will be other people. And then later still, there will be other people. So to track down what happens between these two groups of people, it looks something like this. Now, I was able to scan this from Philip's book on Daniel. And this kind of talks about the Greek world between the time that the Old Testament was finished, about 400 BC, down to the end of the Greek Empire before the Romans took over, and it's complicated. Not so complicated, but it is complicated. So on the left, you have the kings of the south, and they're all called Ptolemy, or Ptolemy, however you like to say it. And then the kings of the north, which have different names. A lot of them are Seleucus, and a lot of them are Antiochus, and a couple of other names thrown in. So this is basically what he sees. Don't worry about reading it. That's just the idea. So there's the top half, there's the bottom half, and this is kind of what's being described. Don't worry, we're going to go through it in more detail. All right. Let me move past this. Okay. How do we corroborate what we read in Daniel 11 in this vision? And Daniel 11's vision is corroborated with history of that time. Well, how do we know the history of that time? Well, three of the sources are Josephus, who writes about that. There would be a modern-day copy of his works. He didn't write recently, of course, this is going back a couple thousand years, but anyway, he wrote about that shortly after the time of the Lord Jesus. The book of Maccabees contains history that is related to this time period, and Polybius was a historian before the time of Christ who wrote about this time period as well. So, and there are more than these three accounts, but these are three big ones, if you will, that corroborate what's being talked about in this vision here in Daniel 11. Now, in Daniel 11:1, we read the time that this took place in the first year of Darius the Mede. And this is going to be when Daniel is in Persia. He is under Darius. This would be a little bit before Daniel in the lion's den kind of time frame. So now we're going to go through verse by verse. We're not going to get through 11 today, but we're going to go through verse by verse and see what the text says and then see what it means in terms of history. So Daniel 11:2 reads as follows. And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than them all. By his strength and through his riches, he shall stir up against the realm of Greece. So what happened here? Well, who was the first ruler that Daniel is talking about? Well, that was in verse 1. Cyrus was the ruler when the kingdom of Babylon was taken over. And all of these dates that are going to be up here on the screen are BC. Our sister has nicely provided Sister Michelle has nicely provided a laser pointer and clicker now. So all of these dates like this are BC. Unless otherwise indicated, you just assume they're BC. So during Daniel's time, Cyrus was the ruler, and Darius the Mede began as his sub-regent. So Cyrus was the ruler over everything, and Darius the Mede was the sub-ruler, if you will, which is why Darius signed that decree with the story of the account of Daniel in the lion's den. All right. Now the passage, the verse says, three more kings will arise in Persia. And in fact, history does teach us that there are three more kings, and here are their names and the times that they ruled. Now this third one, Darius the Great, is different than this person, Darius the Mede, who was in the Daniel in the lion's den time. All right. So the three kings follow, and then it says, and the fourth king shall come and be far richer than them all. Well, who was the fourth king? Darius was the one who was ruling during the completion of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the fourth king then is the strong and rich king, which turns out to be Xerxes. Now, what is Xerxes known for? Well, he's the husband of Esther in the book of Esther. So this fourth king is the husband of Esther, and he, in fact, leads an invasion against Greece. And that's what it says. Through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. And you can read about this today, even on Wikipedia. And if you look on Wikipedia of the second Persian invasion of Greece, and you can see a map of what he tried to do, there it is. The second Persian invasion of Greece occurred during the Greco-Persian Wars as King Xerxes of Persia sought to conquer all of Greece. And you can read all about it there on Wikipedia. But sure enough, the fourth king after, mighty and rich Xerxes, attempts to bother Greece in what he tried to do. All right. Now, Daniel 11:3 then. Then a mighty king shall arise who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. There is little doubt, and we've looked at it already in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, little doubt that this is talking about Alexander the Great. Now, another thing that makes Daniel 11 a little bit tricky is that it gives a succession of events, and it puts them in chronological order correctly, but sometimes there can be a leap in history of some number of years, and this is one of them. So even though verse 3 comes right after verse 2, and what happened with Xerxes, if you look at the dates of Xerxes, you have time periods of around 486 to 464 BC. Now if you look at the dates of Alexander, you have 336, his reign being around that time period. So we've skipped ahead quite a bit in time, maybe around a century. But it's understood from what is said about this ruler that it is Alexander the Great, because we've seen in Daniel 7 and in Daniel 8 that it's Alexander's kingdom that after his death gets broken up into four kingdoms and under his generals. So Alexander's kingdom turns out to be a very large one. You can look in this fuzzy looking picture, but here is Egypt down here. Here is the land of Israel where Jerusalem, Judah would be. And he conquered, you know, all of this area and moved very far to the east through Babylon and all the way through much of India, even close to where China would be. His conquering was unmatched. He never lost a battle. He was in his low 30s when he had conquered everything that he could know to conquer. So what we read about is exactly true. A mighty king shall arise who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. In other words, there was no stopping him if he wanted to conquer something. Now, verse 4 of Daniel 11 says, and when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven. but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted, even for others besides these. So, what did happen with Alexander? We already saw it in chapter 8, that he died extremely young, I think 32, and at the height of his power, he died. Different theories as to what happened. Could he have been poisoned? That's in the mix of theories. But anyway, his kingdom's going to be broken up. So even though there was an Alexander the Great Jr., he never made it to anything and died quickly. And after about 15 years of chaos, eventually the kingdom settled down to be broken into four pieces under the four of Alexander the Great's generals. So here they are, his generals, and kind of where they were: Cassander, Antigonus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy here in Egypt. So let's see what it says. When he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven. If you think about it, it does kind of look like the points on a compass. But not among his posterity. So it's not his son or his son's son that's going to inherit everything. It's going to be broken up to these four generals and then their successive rulers behind them. So what we're telling so far is that the account in Daniel 11 is a very detailed and accurate account. So let's go to the next verse then, Daniel 11:5. Also the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his princes. He shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. So this is Ptolemy, and he's the one, the general that was the king of the south. It says, the king of the south shall become strong as well as one of his princes. And it turns out that this general here actually was the lieutenant under Ptolemy. So when it says one of his princes, it's talking about him who's going to be the king of the north. So Ptolemy the first reigns about this time period, and he actually claimed to be pharaoh in Egypt. Now, it turns out that this worked out pretty well in his favor. The Egyptians were under Persian rule at one time, before the Greeks took over, before Alexander the Great. The Egyptians hated the Persians. And why not? Anyway, the Egyptians, they hated the Persians. So when Alexander the Great came and conquered, they really didn't resent him like somebody conquering them, as much as they saw him more as a liberator, liberating them from the Persians. So they actually liked Alexander the Great, and we have the prominent city in Egypt, Alexandria, named after Alexander the Great. Now, so when Alexander was viewed so highly, and maybe kind of as a pharaoh to the people of Egypt, when Ptolemy came along, he realized that they had a custom that a succeeding pharaoh would bury the previous pharaoh when he died. So when Alexander died, he managed to manipulate things to where he got the body of Alexander and buried it in Alexandria. And all the Egyptians kind of said, that's good enough for us. We see you as the successive pharaoh. So he claimed to be their pharaoh and was pretty much accepted as such. And he became very strong. Now, his his lieutenant, who ended up getting the northern kingdom there, the Seleucid Empire, he became strong as well, but he was under Ptolemy, and we'll see why. Now, as I said, we're going to see now a conflict that continues between these two regions over centuries. And in order to keep up with this and to keep up with all the names, history has made it a little bit easy on us. First of all, every ruler in the southern kingdom during the time period we're going to look at was named Ptolemy. So You might get which one it is wrong, but you won't get the name wrong. You might get the number. There are 14 Ptolemies that are going to follow in Egypt. The 13th of the 14 is brother of the famous Cleopatra, and the 14th is actually the son of that Ptolemy. So whoever's ruling down here, you can bet their name is Ptolemy. All right. Now, he's the king of the south, and Daniel and the Seleucid Empire, he was lieutenant under Ptolemy. He was appointed by Ptolemy to rule up here. At some point around 315, this guy here, Antigonus, decides to attack the Seleucid Empire here. And Ptolemy didn't take too kindly to this, because that was his buddy up there. So he goes and he helps in the fight against Antigonus in about 312 BC. So what happened was, the result was, by about 309, Seleucus ends up controlling more than he had before. So if you look at this empire, Antigonus now gets squeezed out, and the Seleucid Empire grows. So now, let's see what we have here. The king of the south shall become strong as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion, and his dominion shall be a great dominion. This is probably talking about this increase of territory for the Seleucid Empire. Now, 11:6 goes on to say, and at the end of some years they shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand, but she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. Well, whoa. All right. What's going to happen here? We'll leave you on the edge of your seat. I didn't realize time was moving so quickly. All right. We'll pick this up next time and find out who these people are and what happened between them. So that's all for now.